Let you know that throughout these next coming weeks, I'm going to be very vulnerable with you. I'm going to be very open and honest about some things that have been going on in my own life and my own walk with the Lord and my own thoughts and attitudes. And because this is some stuff that's been weighing pretty heavily on me over the last year. And I'll explain more on that in a minute. But I just want to let you know that I'm going to be open and honest with you. And my prayer is that you will also be open and honest throughout this as well. Now, when I say that, I don't mean that I want you to stand up and be confessing things here openly, okay? But I do want you to be open and honest and vulnerable to what the Holy Spirit has to convict in your own life. Because that's when true change takes place in our lives. And So I want us to hopefully get something out of this series that you can apply in your own life that would be as effective in your own life as it has been in mine. So as we go through some of these things in what we're talking about, obviously, if anybody does feel like sharing anything, please do so. Know that this is a safe environment. We are fellow believers, we all fall into sin, and no one is going to look down on anyone here because every one of us falls. And at the same time, we're also going to look at a couple of examples of people that we can look up to that have done certain things right. But at this, when I say that, I want to make sure that we're not putting anybody on a pedestal because, let's face it, the only one who is worthy of being on a pedestal is Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate example. He's the only one that gets all of this 100% right, 100% of the time. So, we are going to pray. I was leading into that. Perfect timing. But I want to open up with a word of prayer, and then I want to do something a little different. I ask you to bear with me. As I close with prayer, I want you to go ahead and just keep your eyes closed for a minute, because I want to ask you a couple questions, and I just want you to focus on you and the Lord. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes for prayer, Lord. Lord, we're so thankful this morning for just a beautiful day, another day of life that you give us on this planet in which we can serve you and your kingdom. I thank you so much for just the blessing of living in this country, of the freedoms that we have, that we can come here into this public place and worship you openly and honestly, with great joy and without fear of persecution, Lord, that so many others around the world face. We just thank you for this morning and this time. I thank you so much for this series that you've laid on my heart. I just pray that as I speak, that it would be your words that you would use, that I would just be a tool for you, Lord, and that this would be something that we can all take and grow and learn from, Lord. I would just give this time over to you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to ask you a couple of questions here with your eyes closed. First one, and just anybody shout this out, is what is man's purpose? To glorify God, absolutely. And when are we to glorify him? All the time. Now, here's a question off of that is, why do we glorify God?
So we can get to heaven.
Well,
His word tells us to.
He deserves it. He commands it.
He's our creator.
We choose to. Out of love and gratitude as well. Is that correct? So what my question next to you is, and this one is a rhetorical one, I don't want any answers, but just think about this in your own heart, is do you really believe what we just said? And Dr. Tackett, I believe, is the one who said, do you really believe that what you believe is really real? And what that means, what I mean by that is, does your life live out what you believe, that you want to glorify God all the time out of love and gratitude for what he's done for us? Do you have a proper view of God and who he is in your life? How far would you be willing to go to prove that? Would you be willing to be humiliated in public? Are you willing to give up all of your material possessions or even be tortured or killed for your faith? These are some sobering thoughts, and you can go ahead and open your eyes, but I just wanted to kind of bring that up because these are things that the Lord has really been placing on my heart and asking of me as of late. This all started for me as far as this kind of evolution of my own attitudes about a year ago. For those of you who don't know, I no longer work in the family business. About a year ago, I just felt a strong calling to pursue my passions and my talents that God has given me. For those of you who don't know, I am an artist and a photographer. I absolutely love creating art and photography. And so I left the family business last year, and I've opened up a full-time portrait studio. So I am a portrait photographer and artist. And so in that process, as I broke away and officially own my own business now, I started just reading a whole lot of books, books about business, books about sales. I mean, you name it. We've got Psychology of Selling, The Art of Closing the Sale, Millionaire Success Habits, Primal Branding, How to Win Friends and Influence People. I just started going on a tear because I want to be successful in this business, and I know how hard it is to have a successful business, particularly in a small town. And so I wanted to get as much information and get off on the right foot. But what I started to realize is I started reading books like this that dealt with business and business plans and all these things is they are so focused on profits and just growing bigger and bigger and how to be successful. And I started to feel a conviction from the Lord in that that's not why I'm here. I would love to be successful in my business, but the Lord started placing on my heart that He's not calling me to be successful in business. He's calling me to be successful in life. And business can be a way to have success in your life. But He really started to press on my heart that He wants me to use my business for His glory and not for my gain. And in that, He promises that when I live out my life and use my business for His glory, He will take care of my needs. And that is something that I've had to really put myself in check with as far as what do I want versus what do I need. And so as I started going through, like I said, these books, they talk about business plans and setting up sales goals and things like that. And I started looking at it and, you know, they talk about setting your sales goals and doing the reverse mathematics as far as how many clients would you need and, you know, to hit those sales goals and everything. And I just realized that it was all focused towards that end goal of the profit and hitting those monetary marks. And so what I had to really change my thought process and my mind and my heart was not for the profits, but what do I need? And so I had to go through and look at my own personal finances and see how much do I need to bring in order to take care of my family, and how many clients would it take to get that level, and that's how many clients I pray for. And so if the Lord brings more than that, that is His way of blessing me, and if the Lord brings less than that, which is what I've had so far, it's His way of testing me. And so as I started to evolve, I started to read other books that were I felt were a little more focused on what I should be focused on. Start With Why was a good book. It's still from a secular gentleman, Simon Sinek. He's a lot about leadership and things like that. But it was a great book as far as focusing on your why first and foremost. And so I took those kinds of principles and applied them to my own Christian walk. And then the next great book that I haven't quite finished it yet, but it's Every Great Endeavor, Connecting Your Work to God's Work. And that's been a fantastic book that just talks about connecting whatever work it is that you're in to God's work and how you can use it for His glory. So as I said, I am a portrait photographer now. I don't do weddings. I'll just put that out there because I get asked that all the time is do you do weddings? And for some reason, anytime somebody thinks of a photographer, they think of weddings. I don't do weddings for several reasons, okay? But one of the biggest ones is the fear of being requested for a same-sex marriage. I don't know if you're aware of what is going on in the country these days. Some people in the country have lost their businesses. They've lost everything. Sweet Cakes by Melissa. Aaron and Melissa Klein, this was a pretty famous one, are bakers who had a bakery, and they refused to bake a wedding cake for a lesbian couple. And the lesbian couple filed a discrimination case against them with the Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industries. And they told their story to local newspapers and television statements. Within days, militant homosexuals groups launched protests and boycotts. Klein said he received messages threatening to kill his family. They hoped his children would die. The LGBT protesters then turned on their wedding vendors around the community. They threatened to boycott any florists, wedding planners, or other vendors that did business with Sweet Cakes by Melissa. That tipped the scales, Klein said. The LGBT activists inundated them with phone calls and threatened them. They would tell our vendors, if you don't stop doing business with Sweet Cakes by Melissa, we will shut you down. And that was basically the final straw, that people stopped doing business with them and they eventually had to close their doors. But Klein said of closing their retail store, it was a small price to pay for standing up for their religious beliefs. Klein said what happened to Sweet Cakes by Melissa should be a warning to other Christians around the nation. This is a fight that's been coming for a while. Be prepared to take a stand. Hopefully the church will wake up and understand that we are under attack right now. And there, this article goes on to list others in similar predicaments. Denver baker Jack Phillips is facing possible jail time for refusing to bake a cake. In Indianapolis, a family-owned cookie shop faced discrimination investigation after they refused to make rainbow cookies for National Coming Out Day. And a T-shirt company in Lexington, Kentucky, found itself at the center of a Human Rights Commission investigation after they refused to make T-shirts for a local gay rights organization. So, now, I don't want to make this about homosexuality or any of these kinds of things. That's not the point here. The reason I bring it up is because this just happens to be one of the sharpest swords that the world is using to attack Christianity right now. It's one of those areas where they're able to really persecute in using that. So I had to really confront this idea that I could potentially lose my entire business, my passion, my income, because of my faith. And that's something that the Lord just really confronted me with, is how far am I willing to go for Christ? How far are you willing to go for Christ? One of the books that I read that really impacted me, probably more than any of these others, is Whatever the Cost. It's a fantastic book by David and Jason Benham. Anybody recognize the name Benham? So it's a set of twin brothers, and it's a fascinating story. They talk about their life growing up, pastor's children, heavy into sports. They actually got into, both of them made it into, I believe, the minor leagues. One of them eventually made it to the major leagues before breaking his leg and things like that. And so then from there, after they left baseball, they opened up a real estate firm where they became the number one real estate firm in the country that dealt with foreclosures. And really fascinating story about just how big they've built this and kind of franchised it across the United States. And in fact, it got so big and popular that HGTV wanted to do a home series about them and about their work. And just a few weeks before the first episode was set to air, again, the homosexual community brought up some of their faith that they had professed in the past, and the show got yanked. They canceled the entire show. They lost a lot of business over it. They had to close some of their shops. And so that book just really hit me hard and just had a lot of great things in it that give me courage and wisdom and strength to face those possibilities of what I may lose if I follow the Lord. And so this idea of running a godly business, which is what all of this was about, is me wanting to run a godly business for His glory. It really started to spill over into the rest of my life. And what I started to realize was that I was not living very courageously for God in every area of my life the way I'm supposed to be. And again, I'm just being very open and honest with you. I've not been living for Christ the way I should be. I mean, I've been doing good things. I've tried to avoid falling into certain sins. I've been diligent in my personal studies, doing Bible studies with my children on a daily basis, coming to church, even serving on the worship team. But as I studied the things that we're going to look at over the next few weeks, and I started to pray to the Lord and ask for conviction in areas in my life that I needed convicting, He did not hold back. And it's funny, when you ask the Lord that, He will not hold back. And it's because He wants us to be more Christ-like each and every single day. And so all I can say is that I am so grateful that we serve a loving and patient God who doesn't give up on us and desires to use us for His kingdom and His glory. I hope that I haven't given you the wrong impression with all this talk about persecution, because believe it or not, the series is not about persecution. it's about living our lives for Christ. But the reason I talk about all of this and wanted to touch on this subject as we start this series is because we have to understand that when we live our lives for Christ, we are going to face persecution. It's just a fact. It's a natural result of it. In fact, it's something that's promised by God. If you'll turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 12. Chapter 3, verse 12, says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." So we need to expect it. As it says right here, we will suffer persecution, even from the Lord Himself. In John 15:20, Jesus said, "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." And so we have to just be ready for it and know that as we take what we're going to look at over the next several weeks, Lord willing, and apply these things to our lives and live them out, we have to be ready to face this persecution. And you need to have that in your mind up front and know that that's going to be coming. Now, when we talk about persecution, a lot of times we tend to think about people in third world countries, missionaries abroad who are being physically tortured and killed. And that certainly is taking place all over the world, and it's truly tragic. But we don't usually see that to that extreme here in America, not yet anyways. But what we've looked at already as far as the persecution that is taking place here, people that are losing their jobs, people that are losing their families for Christ. Pastor Craig talked about it in at the end of his sermon this morning, is that there have been people who have come to place their faith in Christ and have been fired from their jobs because of it. They've lost their spouse. They've lost their businesses and things of that nature. That's the kind of persecution that is more commonplace in our country. And quite honestly, I think it's one of the more clever tactics of Satan, is that form of persecution. How many of you, if you saw a child playing in the road and you saw a bus coming down the road, how many of you would jump in front of that bus and push that child out of the way? You would do it without even thinking. It would just be a natural reaction, right? How many of you would be, if the police stormed in here and arrested all of us and they decided that they were going to put Sharia law in effect and they said, hey, we are going to kill you unless you renounce Christ. How many of you would be willing to die for Jesus Christ right here and right now? I would certainly hope, and I would hope that I would be that faithful in the face of that as well. So why is it so difficult for us to stand up for God in the face of public criticism? Why is it so hard? Why do we think twice about speaking up when someone jokes about God or about heaven or hell? You're at a party and somebody says something that they're talking about, you know, their weekend that they had partying, and they said, oh my gosh, it's no wonder I'm going to be going to hell. And they just think light of it. And we don't say anything. Why is it so hard to speak up in those moments? It's because Satan knows that our human nature doesn't want us to feel excluded and feel that kind of persecution. And so we need to be ready and on guard and just ready to simply share our faith with anyone that we come in contact with whenever the opportunity presents itself. Tom and Grace Manning, if you were not here when they used to live here, they came to church here. Faithful couple, such great examples in my own life. That couple could talk to anybody at any time, anywhere about Jesus Christ. It was one of the most amazing things that I've ever seen. They could take any conversation and turn it towards Christ, and they did it without fear. It was just amazing. And again, I'm not placing anybody on a pedestal, but it was something that I looked up to and desired to have that own attitude in my own life. So again, the study is not about persecution, but rather it's about living our faith, whatever the cost. But we have to know ahead of time that there is a cost, and we have to be prepared for that. We must be willing to give up everything for Christ. Paul did. If we look at an example in the Bible, Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, we all know his story. He was basically the antithesis of a Christian. He was literally paid to find Christians and persecute them, kill them even if necessary. So, and he was well known as well. He had the notoriety everywhere he went. People knew who he was. They feared him. How do we know that he was well known? Well, when he was converted and he started preaching Jesus in the synagogues, everyone was amazed and asked if it was the same man who used to persecute him. So everybody knew who he was. His reputation preceded him. And so he was feared by the Christians and he was honored by the Jews for his efforts of ridding the world of Christians. Either way, he was viewed as someone of importance, and he gave it all up to follow Christ. A great example of someone who gave up his status and position to follow Christ, and we all know the life he led after that and the persecution that he himself went through. Looking at some modern-day examples, I was trying to think of people in today's day who have made that same kind of sacrifice. And the best example I could look towards as far as the pinnacle, according to what society would claim, would obviously be Hollywood, right? Celebrity status, people who walk the red carpet that have this fame and money. These are people that, according to the world, have made it. They're on top of their game. But there are those who, thankfully, have come to know the Lord and place their faith in Jesus Christ and have given up that position and that status that they achieved there in Hollywood. Some that come to mind are Kirk Cameron. Obviously, I'm sure a lot of you know who he is. The kid from Growing Pains, very, very devout Christian, now works on the Christian films. And I don't know, how many of you get his newsletters that he puts out? Yeah, that's it? Wow. Get on the newsletter that he puts out. It's great. But some others that I found were Montel Jordan. Does anybody know the name Montel Jordan? Yes, you do? Because I didn't. I didn't know who that was. But apparently he was famous for the song, the hit, "This Is How We Do It." That's all I had to read as well, and I knew who it was. Amazing. Angus Jones. Anybody know who Angus Jones is? I had no clue either. But apparently he is the kid from the popular television series 2 and a Half Men. I have not watched the show, but as my understanding, it's not exactly a wholesome show. And when he became saved, he looked at that and just realized how hypocritical it was to be in that type of show. And he talks about his shame in that. And then another one that surprised me, I had no idea, was Chris Tucker. Anybody know who Chris Tucker is? Famous comedian, yep. He was in the Rush Hour films. Very popular comedian and comedy actor, but he left Hollywood as well. Again, these are just people who gave up what they had worked their lives to achieve and reached that pinnacle status, but they were willing to put it all behind them in order to follow Christ. And it's just a neat to see and have those examples even in modern day that we can look at to kind of give us that courage. But ultimately, our courage and strength comes from God and from the Holy Spirit. And so that's why we want to go through this study so that we can have that same courage. All right, so if this study is not about persecution, what exactly is it? Well, like I said, my head kind of fluttered around with all these things. I had several topics and things that I wanted to study, and I couldn't decide on which one. So we're going to do them all. but seriously, I had these different topics in mind, and I couldn't really decide on which one. And so as I started to look at them, I started to realize that there was an underlying theme that runs through all of them. And so I hope that as we go through this, that you'll be able to pick up on the underlying theme. And so as people have asked me what I was planning to teach on, I couldn't really come up with a title for it, but I finally think I narrowed it down to what I can best describe as courageous Christian attitudes. So that's what we're going to look at, is courageous Christian attitudes. I think this is so critical of a study because we all know that we are called to be more Christ-like every day. And while Christ taught about things that we should be doing and not doing, in other words, our actions, I believe more than that, he taught about attitudes and the heart, because let's face it, our actions stem from our heart. And so if we can just get our heart and our attitudes in the right place, our actions will naturally flow from that. I can stand up here and tell you things that we as Christians should or shouldn't be doing, but if our heart is not in the right place, it's not going to make a difference. I mean, we're going to fall back into our natural sin habits pretty easily and quickly. And so we want to make sure our heart is in the right place, because first of all, if our heart is not in the right place, we're going to fall back into sin. And secondly, God doesn't care about our actions if our heart isn't into it. And we've talked about that a lot throughout the years here at this, in this church. And I'm so grateful that this is something that gets addressed quite often. But we want to make sure that our hearts and our minds are in the right place, because that's where everything comes from. So as we fix our attitudes on him, actions will naturally follow. And that's where the persecution will come in. But if we fix our attitudes, we'll be able to smile in the face of that persecution. So basically the plan of attack here is, Lord willing, we're going to do a study of the Beatitudes. This is something that I've heard about and known growing up as a Christian, the Beatitudes, I've heard about them, but I never really did an in-depth study on them. And so it's something that I wanted to look at. And so the Beatitudes really teach us a lot about how we are to live, what our attitudes should be, and our mentality that we should be bringing to the world on a daily basis. Then from there, we're going to look at some things that hopefully will give us the courage to live those things out in the face of persecution. And then finally, we'll take a Sunday morning each, and we're going to do a study on heaven and on hell. And you may be wondering what that has to do with actions and attitudes and the Beatitudes. But my hope is that the study on heaven and hell will not only be fascinating and enlightening, but should also give us some added desire, some added motivation, incentive to live these things out in our lives, not only for our benefit, but for those around us. And that's what those two Sundays will really impress upon you, hopefully, is that we need to be living these things out for the glory of God's kingdom and for the advancement of His kingdom. So, again, this is going to be a series about our attitudes and our heart. And that is all I have this morning. I did not know how long this was going to take because, again, I basically had just thoughts fluttering into my head. I spent the last couple of weeks just jotting thoughts down constantly as they popped up, and spent the last week trying to formulate them into somewhat semblance of a flowing thought here. Yes?
The owner of Chick-fil-A, I'm not sure what it was, but the liberal community came down on him hard, tried to shut him down, and it just blessed his business. I think, you know, all Christians and believers
absolutely. It helps that it's good food, too. But but absolutely, there are, you know, I brought up examples of Christians that have lost their businesses and lost their livelihoods. But there certainly are Christians that they've been blessed because they were able to stand in the face of that persecution. And the Lord decided that He wanted to allow them to continue using that business for His glory. Chick-fil-A is one of them. Hobby Lobby is another one. There are several of them out there. That In-N-Out Burger is another one as well. Yeah, absolutely.
They ought to put out some kind of a formula for surviving the attack.
You know, our formula is right here. It's the Word of God. It's about not my iPad. I've got my Bible up. I know. I realized that as soon as I pulled that didn't work out as well. Where's the Bible that I can hold up? The Word of God, you know, he gives us the strength and the encouragement and the wisdom that we need in face of that persecution. And like I said, we have to face it knowing that we will potentially be blessed in return in the face of that, or we'll be tested as far as being willing to give up certain things for God's glory. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But talking about Hollywood, you know, anybody that comes out with their faith, he says, once that comes out, you're just blackballed. You know, you can't get work, nobody wants to do anything. And what's so ironic is Hollywood is always on this bandwagon about tolerance and helping people, whether it's environment or whatever else. And then as soon as somebody goes against a little bit, the most intolerant people of all, we're always painted with a broad brush that we're intolerant, and yet we're the only one that's actually persecuted for what we believe. So,
yes.
More and more and more.
And I was thinking the same thing when I was sitting there, that, you know, this Baker was scrutinized and lost his business over his personal beliefs. Now, if we were to do that to the gay community, we would just be squashed down. It would go anywhere. Yeah. And it's a shame to me that there isn't some kind of a, I know that Jay Sekulow, he does a lot to help people in the court system when it comes to Christian values and, you know, the kids in school and whatnot. But I just wish there was more. But of course, that's me wishing, not doing anything. But I wouldn't know where to start.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't know where to start. But we cannot voice our opinion anymore. It's just, we're not heard.
Yeah, it's definitely been a double standard. In fact, as I was looking up these examples, there was a pastor who wanted to kind of prove a point, so he contacted a baker that had openly advertised within the gay and lesbian community and asked them to make a cake with a scripture verse on it that talked about, you know, the sinfulness of homosexuality, and they refused. And absolutely, they refused, and they hung up on him. And, yeah, in fact, he posted the video online, and then he got a huge lashback from the gay and lesbian community because of it, you know, because people were angry with the baker, and so he took the video down. Well, then the baker reposted the video and now is trying to file a suit against him for causing this kind of disturbance in the business. It's just, it's, yes, very, very much a double standard, but we have to know that. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a good point. You know, we as Christians, we need to be supporting our brothers and sisters in Christ, not just in business, but even through prayer and comforting and fellowship with one another as we face that persecution, is to remind them that, hey, you're not alone in this. We are here with you. Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
I just thinking about this and thinking about our history, we can't assume that when we're in a church that we're safe. Because this homosexual issue has, you know, gotten into all our churches and it's causing splits all over the place. Everybody that we've talked to, because this happened in our former church, is you tell them, get into your Bible. Mm-hmm. You have to know what the Bible says, otherwise you can be put in any direction. You have to know.
Absolutely. Well, and that's where certain religions have really gotten way off track, is because the preacher or whatever, you know, status they've given him is the only one who reads it, and it's in his language, and, you know, that kind of thing. And yeah, like I said, Satan has been very clever in his battle against Christianity. And so, you know, as you talked about, you know, we need to be in the Word of God, and that's really what I want to do throughout this series as we look at these Beatitudes. And essentially what we're doing is we're focusing on that first relationship, is our relationship with the Lord. How are we living out His Word? And when we can get that right, it will spill over into the to the rest of our attitudes and actions. Yes. Well, I understand where you're coming from. I brought that up so that I could lead into the whole idea of people losing their businesses, but it's... Of course, of course, and that's why.
That's a wrong decision.
Absolutely, and when I started that, I said there are several reasons why I don't do weddings. That was just one of them.
You're not prepared to know that it's going to be the toughest year of your life.
Absolutely.
Setting out on your own to start a business. I learned that the hard way.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to that sign? I reserve the right to refuse business to anyone.
Anyone, as long as you're not discriminating based on age, sex, sexual orientation. Yeah, it's there's laws in place that prevent you from refusing service to certain individuals based on certain reasons. So it's absolutely, and it used to be that people could do that, but you know the minority groups have put up enough fight that they've gotten that certain classification for themselves that now you can't discriminate against them. So anyways, we are past our time, so I'm going to go ahead and close us with prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much again this morning for just this discussion that we've had this morning, looking at living our lives for you and the persecution that we potentially may face. We just pray that we would place our trust in you, knowing that you have promised to take care of us no matter what. Even when we face persecution, Lord, it will be for your glory and for your honor. I just pray that we would rely on you and your Holy Spirit for that strength and that guidance in those situations. And Lord, I just pray as for this series, as we look at our own attitudes towards others, towards ourselves, towards you, I just pray that you would move in us with the Holy Spirit and affect us and change our lives for the better so that we can glorify you. Just dismiss us now with your blessing and bless the rest of our morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.